Thanks for listening to the Susie Larson Life podcast, available thanks to support from listeners like you. It's only just a matter of welcome to Susie Larson Live. I'm always so honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. Well, as you know, if you've been listening, all this month we've been focusing on the theme of forgiveness, something that's critical to the life of faith for the Christ follower. Well, today's show, we've also, we've been dedicating our Tuesdays to the series on different aspects of character formation. So who better to talk about forgiveness and character formation than my friend Tom Doyle? He's an expert on the Middle East and has countless stories to share about the persecuted church and what we can learn from them about forgiveness, about character formation. And Tom writes this, "There's no doubt about it. We live in a dangerous world. But instead of motivating Christians in the West to action, today's headlines appear to be paralyzing us. We were never called to live in fear. Even though the times we're living in are frightening, we are right on course with the very plan for God for this world. Things are not falling apart, they're falling into place." We're going to draw from a couple of Tom's books today, Standing in the Fire, Courageous Christians Living in Frightening Times, and one he co-authored with his wife, Women Who Risk, Secret Agents for Jesus in a Muslim World. And I just got to say, the Doyle's books read like fast-paced novel thrillers. Like you forget to breathe, you're holding your breath because they're epic storytellers. And these stories are just almost unbelievable. How Muslims are coming to faith and then they're running for their lives at times, and other times they're running straight into danger. Their stories are so amazing, and it just gives your kind of Western Christian perspective an upgrade, because we need a global perspective when it comes to our faith. Super excited to be able to give away some of the Doyle's books today. You can text the word book if you want to get in on the drawing. And Angie just told me it's The Women Who Risk is the giveaway. Such an amazing book. Every story makes you hold your breath. Women Who Risk, Secret Agents for Jesus in the Muslim World. These women are not sissies, let me just tell you. You can text the word book to get in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. For a quick announcement before we hear from my friend Tom, if you've not downloaded the free Faith Radio app, you've got to go do that. Go to the App Store, search Faith Radio Network, and that way you can take us with you when you go traveling this season. You can live stream our shows from anywhere, get a really clear signal, or you can listen to the podcast after the fact. All right, let me tell you about my guest. We'll get him on the show. Tom Doyle is president and founder of Uncharted Ministries, an accomplished author, popular international speaker, pastor, minister to the unreached, and a veteran tour guide in Israel and the Middle East. His book, Standing in the Fire, was a finalist for the ECPA Book of the Year in 2018. And best of all, Tom is a friend. Tom, welcome back to the show.
Oh, great to be with you, Susie. Really missed our times together. So here we are.
Yes. I'm so glad to have you back on the show. And it really is time for an update on the Middle East. And I feel like the fact that it fits in this framework of not only our character series, but also in these days where we're talking forgiveness, it's a perfect conversation. Before we get into your stories and dig from the content of your great books, just on a personal level, what is the Lord speaking to you these days?
Well, you know, I've been studying. I do a Bible text and send it out to friends and family, and I'm in Isaiah now. And what a rich book this is. Isaiah was mentioned 80 times in the New Testament, and a whopping 20 out of 27 books quote Isaiah. And of course, we know what it's about. It's during that time in the 700s when Assyria was going to attack the northern kingdom, and it was because of the sin of Israel, the nation had split. But I look at this chapter one, and it's so beautiful because as bad as it is, the immorality, the idolatry, all of this in chapter one, verse 18, God invites the nation of Israel to visit with him. "Come now, let us settle this matter," says the Lord. "Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool." We know those verses, but yet with the context of the idolatry and the immorality and how they copied the other nations, and God says, "You're even worse than the pagan nations who don't know God, who don't know me." He called them back. And with God, there's always a way out. And this just really speaks to me, Susie, with the shape America's in right now. He's calling us as a group of believers, as a group of as a nation to come back to him. And so that's what I'm praying all the way through. I'm just amazed at the book of Isaiah, how much it relates to what we're going through in America today.
So good. I went for a prayer walk this morning, and I was listening to the book of 2 Corinthians, and I like to listen in different translations, and I just happened to pick the Message paraphrase, and I know there was a lot of debate over that. Eugene Peterson was a man of God, and he did know God's word.
Yeah.
There's debate about, is it a translation or paraphrase? But either way, if you listen to audiobooks, why can't you listen to a paraphrase of Scripture? So that's my case there. But when I was listening to 2 Corinthians, about just what struck me was the idea of that those who fear God, he comes to the rescue each time. Mm. Not to say he rescues us, you know, like keeps us from having to go through hard times. But I often say, heaven knows who's who in the zoo. And when people fear God, God takes notice. And so the nation may be under discipline, and we may have to suffer some of you know, what's happening in our nation. But still, he comes to our rescue, and he moves on our prayers. He sees us, and he's not forsaken us. And I feel like there needs to be addressed it, because you see it over and over again in Scripture, Tom, where there is a distinction between those who fear God and those who don't. I would love for you to say a word about that.
Oh, my gosh, yes. There's those that mock God and those that have a heart for God. And right now we have both in our country. And you know what? Sometimes just even our verbiage needs to change a little bit, Susie. Right now, what are we in the middle of? We're in the middle of the Pride Month. And so I know for a lot of Christians, they watch the news and that can make them upset or whatever. And we totally get that. We should stand up for our kids, stand up in schools, you know, make our vote count. But I think if we would look at this group of people, the LGBT people, as an unreached people group right here in our country, all of a sudden our heart and everything shifts as we start to see compassion and we want to pray for them. That's what we're doing with our team at Uncharted, just praying for people that are caught up in this lifestyle, caught up in that theology that they have of life, and just pray for them as we do other groups that need Christ desperately.
Yeah, and when you pray for people, you develop a heart, a Christ-like compassion for them. And when you step back and make blatant statements about people, your heart gets hard and self-righteous and prideful. And, you know, pride goes before a fall, if we're talking about pride. So as Christ followers, boy, this is a time to steward our perspective so that we can get the mind of Christ. And boy, it's the pure in heart that see God. And if we let our hearts get all muddied in our own self-righteousness, that we can't see them as lost people who are deceived.
That's right.
And again, a reminder that our battle's not against flesh and blood. It's against principalities.
That's right.
And there's the deceiver, and there are those who are deceived. So what do we do about that? So, man, I appreciate your ministry's taking that approach. Wow.
Yeah, this is the issue of the day. And we as believers, we know one thing. We need to pray. We need to pray for them.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've had a lot of experience in churches that I pastored with people that came out of that lifestyle. And to hear their stories were heartbreaking. But you know what? There's great victories in Jesus. And we just need to pray for them.
Thank you. Thank you for that. Before we dig into some of the stories you want to share, I would love to just know, in general, what you and Joanne have learned by watching your friends in the Middle East, how they process their pain and their losses, because there's not always a lot of time and space for them. I feel like in one of the blessings of being in the West, I know it has its downfalls as far as we can be so easily distracted because we don't have the immediate need. Do you know what I'm saying? We can go a while without a deep dependence on God, which is a bad thing, and we don't even realize it. But one of the good things, I feel like, is there is attention to soul care and to healing from inner wounding. Everybody needs it. So I'm so grateful that there's time and space for that for us in the West. But I would imagine in the Middle East, when they're going from one intense crisis to another, I can't even imagine how do they process that, and how does God meet them in those places? What have you learned?
Yeah, you know, they have to have short accounts in the Middle East. So in many of the countries, believers are surrounded by Muslims. We were just talking to our national leader in Pakistan and how easily it is for Muslims that would be more hardline fundamentalists to use the term that someone has blasphemed. You know, the B word is the worst in Pakistan. And anyone could say that. You blasphemed the prophet. You blasphemed Islam. there may not even be a court case. There may be an immediate hanging right then.
Wow.
And so they have grown up in this atmosphere, seeing this, how fast things can change. They have short accounts. And we'll tell a story about some of the people that were actually slaves in Pakistan that have been freed. We paid their debt. We trained them to have a gainful employment, a job. And now they're actually serving and helping the very people that enslaved them joyfully. And now that's a lesson that people need to see, true forgiveness.
Okay, on the other side, as you tell your stories, I would love for you to just help us with the takeaways. Tell a story and then see what we can learn from them. Why, it's just absolutely amazing. Mm-hmm. Tom Doyle is my guest today. He is an expert on the Middle East. He and his wife, Joanne, have an amazing ministry to the Middle East. He's the founder and president of Uncharted Ministries. And boy, what they are doing. And really, what we want to hear what they have to say. We've got some copies of Tom and Joanne Doyle's book, Women Who Risk, Secret Agents for Jesus in the Muslim World. And this, even though the title is Women Who Risk, this is not a book for women. Men, you're not going to believe what you read about how these women risk their lives for the gospel. And some who have a chance to escape but cannot leave their families or their communities until they know Jesus. This is unbelievable. So you're going to hear some stories that will be amazing, and we want so much to lean in and learn. What can we learn from these dear people about our own character formation? What can we learn about how to process our losses and how to forgive some of the worst offenders? More with Tom Doyle in a minute. If you're a new listener, we want to officially welcome you with a free welcome pack gift. Request yours today at myfaithradio.com. Fantastic day. Thanks for tuning in to Suzy Larson Live. We've got our good friend Tom Doyle on the show. He and his wife Joanne often join us. I should say often, but we try to get him on with some regularity to talk about an update from the Middle East. They are experts on ministry in the Middle East and do so much important work there. Their books read like fast-paced novels. And I'm telling you, when I've prepped to interview them, I'm reading the stories and I forget to breathe because they're epic storytellers, and these stories are just unbelievable. We've got a handful of copies of Tom and Joanne's book, Women Who Risk, Secret Agents for Jesus in the Muslim World. These are unbelievable stories of women, Muslim women, who've come to faith and who are just risking their lives for the sake of Jesus. And the things that these women have forgiven are just phenomenal, so that the people in their life can know Jesus. You can text the word book to get in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. So we're focusing on the persecuted church right now and what we can learn about forgiveness and even character formation. So you've got a story, Farid, the Damascus Dungeon. Tell us that story.
Oh my gosh. Well, Farid is a pastor in Syria. And of course, Christians are the lowest on the totem pole when it comes to the different religions. You've got Sunni, you've got Shia, you've got Alawites, you've got Druze. Christians are way down the line. And so it's not uncommon for him to have the government come and just put a seal across the front door and lock it with the chain.
Wow.
They decided you're not able to have church here. And the last time it happened, it was for, I think it was about 3 years. So they're meeting in homes and just nothing they could do. And the government gave no reason. Then finally they reopened it. Well, Farid has a heart for Muslims. And in Syria, one of the things that the government wants to make sure of, Susie, is they keep the religions away from each other. The Alawites from the Druze, the Sunnis from the Shiites, they fight, they kill each other, the country becomes unstable. So for a Muslim to come to faith in Christ, that's a crime against the government, and they take that seriously. And Farid was blessed to lead a Muslim family to faith in Christ. They'd had some dreams about Jesus. They started reading the Bible, came to faith in Christ. They wanted to be baptized right out of the chute to just make that line in the sand, I'm all with Jesus now, and they did. And it ended up that one of the cousins of that family spoke to the government and came up with a crazy story about how the pastor had kidnapped this family and forced him to convert and blah, 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 blah. So anyway, Farid is driving with his wife one day in Syria. He's pulled over and arrested and taken straight to Damascus. And that's the capital city, of course. And that was about 2.5 hours from where he was. He was booked. They wouldn't tell him why. They put him in prison, and his wife said goodbye to him, and they told him he was going into the dungeon. And the dungeon is 3 floors under the main floor in this Damascus prison. And it's infamous. It's known for torture. Oh. A lot of people don't come out alive. And so there goes Fareed, kisses his wife goodbye, and he goes into the dungeon. And he goes into this cell, which as he's walking into it, Susie, the smells, he said, would make you want to vomit. There was no place for a restroom down there. There was fighting. There was screaming. There was torture going on. But before he went in, Susie, he had a New Testament in his pocket. And he thought, better ask this or I'm going to get beaten later. He said to the guard, am I allowed to take this book in to the prison? And the guard looked at it and said, yeah, whatever. So he did. Well, he got in there. He's in this cell, 36 hardened Muslims. These are people from ISIS. These are people from other terrorist groups that are infamous in Syria. They're in jail. One believer, 36 Muslims. This is kind of a modern day recreation of Daniel in the lion's den. When you think about
goodness.
It, right? I mean, there's no way. When his wife hears he's going into this dungeon, she called the team in Syria. She called the team in America and said, he's going to die. He'll die there. He won't come out alive. Well, he got in, and it was horrible. And a few hours later, the guard comes, and he just throws pieces of pita bread in the cell. And they're all fighting and scrambling for it. And Fareed said, I can't even believe this came out of my mouth, but I just said in front of everyone, hey, let's wait a second. In my faith, we worship Jesus, and we pray before we eat. May I pray? You can imagine, is that going to be the end of his life right there? He says this boldly, and they looked at him and, okay, pray. So he prayed. And from that prayer, Susie, he said, the presence of God entered that cell. He invited him into the cell. And the presence of God was so tangible, it got quiet. They started asking questions. He pulled out his Bible and started reading Bible passages. He went to the Sermon on the Mount, which touches the hearts of Muslims. If you ever meet a Muslim that you want them to read some Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5-7, it just speaks to them. He just started reading Bible passages. It quieted. It got calm. People talked. There was no blowback, zero blowback as far as, wait a minute, you should be reading the Quran. He's just reading passages from the Bible, and they're listening. And that first night, he goes to sleep with his back to the wall. In the middle of the night, he feels a tap on the shoulder, and one of the prisoners says, can you memorize my number? Can you memorize my phone number? He said, well, yeah, why? And he said, if we ever get out of here, I have to talk to you because I've been having dreams about Jesus, and I don't know what it means. Can you memorize my number? They had nothing to write. He said, I'll memorize your number. And night after night, that was happening. People coming to him, asking him to read Bible verses to them. It brought a calm over that whole cell, and it spread throughout the dungeon. 5 days later, he's released from prison. His wife gets a call on his phone, and she thought, he's surely dead. And a guard is calling on his phone. It's Fareed. He says, they let me out. I'm free. Come get me. She races down there. The team arrives in Damascus. He comes out. He isn't beaten up. He doesn't look bad whatsoever. And they said, how did it go? We were afraid you were going to just get killed in there. And he said this, Susie, I'll never forget this. These were the 5 best days of my life.
Wow.
They were the best days of my life. It was the most dangerous, but I felt no fear. I felt no anger toward Muslims for what has happened to me my whole life at their hands. I just felt the love of Christ that he had for them. And I was able to pray, and I was able to read the scripture, and I was even able to leave my Bible there so they could read once I left. The 5 best days of my life. So what has happened since then? He's been making calls. Many of the prisoners have gotten out. And they were so thankful to hear from him. One Sunni Muslim and his family, wife and kids, came, spent 2 days with them in their home, prayed to receive Christ, all of them. And so the misery that he's gone through in Syria his whole life, he said that just faded, and God gave him this just genuine love and compassion for Muslims, and the power of God descended on that cell, and that Damascus dungeon became a house of praise, really, when you think about it. What a hero. That's like something out of the book of Acts when you think about it, right?
Just thinking that exact thing, just thinking that very thing. I mean, you know, a guard's getting saved and prisoners getting saved. You wonder even what the guards must have thought, because this is, you know, the dungeon and these are hardened criminals. And they had to have sensed the peace that settled in and on that place, that because I'm sure the prisoners were behaving differently as they were settling in. I mean, it's just, wow.
And you know what? He was never beaten. They saw God's favor on him. I mean, he would be the first one to be beaten. He's the Christian. He did this. Nothing. Everything went well for him. He was given favor in prison. They marveled. They marveled at it. And so, anyway, we have some new brothers and sisters in Christ that first heard the message in a dungeon in Damascus. How cool is that?
Oh, Tom, you know, and it goes back to what you were talking about. We have a break in about a minute and a half here, but with keeping short accounts, because if you think, if he wouldn't have dealt with his heart when they chained up his church for 3 years, I mean, we can get so offended over such lesser things.
Right.
So try to imagine if someone chained up your church for 3 years.
Yeah.
I mean, how bitter we can get. And we just think nothing of walking around with grudges. But obviously, he feared and loved God enough to deal with his heart. So by the time he got unjustly arrested, his heart was a vessel that the Holy Spirit could pour into and pour through for these lost people. I mean, that is a marvel, isn't it?
It really is. It's just beautiful to see that, because really hanging on to our anger or our hurt or injustice or whatever, that usually does zero for the gospel. What is the biggest need? It's not the situation that he went through when they locked his church for 3 years. They need Christ. There needs to be a revival. There needs to be a Jesus revolution in Syria is what needs to happen. This is a country that had a lot of churches and a great Christian history after the second chapter of Acts. So what an incredible man of God. The smile on his face, I'm telling you, Susie, with the Spirit of God all over him, he looks like he just took a walk in the park. And he just walked outside of a Damascus dungeon.
Wow. We got to pause here. When we come back, we're going to hear more stories from our good friend Tom Doyle. And the whole purpose of today's show is to bring a fresh perspective and a hunger and a thirst for more of God's presence in your life, that you could shine brightly in a dark world, which starts with keeping short accounts with what's going on in your heart. We'll be back in a minute. Thank you so much for tuning in to Susie Larson Live. We have our good friend Tom Doyle on the show. He and his wife join us every once in a while to give us an update from the Middle East. They're experts on the Middle East, have been a thriving, amazing ministry to the Muslim people, as many, many, many in unprecedented numbers are coming to faith in Jesus. It's just staggering. And today we wanted Tom on just because we're in a month of talking about forgiveness and doing a series on character formation. And, you know, who better to learn from than our persecuted brothers and sisters who risk their lives on a regular basis and who are offended, so to speak, with the death of loved ones and the loss of their property for the sake of the gospel. We can learn something from these dear people. We've got a handful of copies of Tom and Joanne's book, Women Who Risk, Secret Agents for Jesus in the Muslim World. Cannot endorse their books enough. They read like high-paced, fast-paced novels, thrillers, but the stories are real. You can text the word book to get in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. So the story you told us about Fareed is just amazing. And friends, if you just tuned in, once the show's over, go back and catch the podcast. You're not going to want to miss that story. Now you've got one about Fatima. I think I'm saying her name right.
Yeah, I've heard it pronounced Fatima or Fatima. And she is, well, if we remember the book of Acts, Acts 16, Lydia was the first believer in Philippi. In fact, she's the first believer in all of Europe. And Fatima reminds me of Lydia. She lives in Azraq, Jordan, and that's the eastern part of Jordan. If you've ever seen the map, there's kind of like a corridor that goes toward Iraq, and this is near Iraq. So it's the eastern city in Jordan, and it's famous for four things. Number one, it was built by the Romans. Number two, Lawrence of Arabia used it for his headquarters during the Arab Revolt in the 20th century. Three, the major trade is smuggling weapons, drugs, and sex slaves. Mm. So this is what Azraq is known for. Before there was, you know, FedEx or Amazon Prime, there was Azraq. They would promise to get anything anywhere for a price. And then the fourth thing it was famous for, it didn't have one church, not even one. But you know what? You can cross number four off the list now. And Fatima is the first one that we know of that comes to faith in Christ. And I'm telling you, she just has a fire for the Lord. She started a underground church in her home. It's gotten large. In fact, to even the point where some leaders pulled her out of the city for a couple of weeks because there was a plot to kill her. I mean, that sounds like the book of Acts back there again, right? Remember the riots and everything? There was a revival and then a riot, and she comes back. And God is using this woman to reach women, and the women are reaching their husbands and children because they love the changes they see in their lives. And so what a powerful woman of God she is, and brave. And I think what I learn about from her character is this. When she came to faith in Christ, she was confronted with the deep sin struggles within the city that had always been that way. It was generational evil that just went on and on and on with the sex slavery, the drugs, the weapons. It's known as the most radical place in Jordan, and she lived there. She wanted to get out, but God had to just melt her heart and give her a love for the people there that were so lost, that they were just connected to evil, so incredibly lost. So she stayed. And many people, they want to get out, they want to go somewhere else. She stayed. God used her as the first believer. There's a growing underground church there now. She's also going to other cities and sharing with women about what happened to her life and how the gospel has changed her. And I mean to tell you, there are miracles. There are people having dreams about Jesus in Azraq. There are Bibles getting in. There's no above ground church they built. They're just meeting at homes around the city. And this place is being changed, and people are hearing, what? They're believers in Azraq? How can that be? It comes from one woman who dared to stay and confess that she really hated her city. She was sick of the people, but she stayed. And God has given her a love for those people, Susie, and it is growing. We're excited to know her and hear about the miracles and the numbers of salvations that are coming about just really weekly. We're hearing about things. So isn't that amazing what God can do in a dark place with just one committed individual, kind of like an unreached people group. She's the first believer in that city that anyone knows of. And boy, is she a force for God now. Mm,
my goodness. You know, I know this is my wild imagination talking, but I've thought for the longest time that you know, in heaven, there's going to be all kinds of movie theaters, and mm-hmm. we're going to be able to go and sit and watch even how Joseph navigated, how Paul navigated, yeah. how Fatima navigated. I mean, imagine really the beauty of sitting together and watching a story unfold of how her life intersected with their life and how this person sowed into the missionary journey and their money did that. I just really think, yeah. you know, of course, next to seeing Jesus face to face is going to be the stories of how God worked all things together for the good. Oh. And he took our actions of faith. I just have to believe that. I just can't imagine that these yeah. stories are going to go by the wayside. We are going to stand in perpetual awe of how God took each of our lives and took our offering and did something so amazing. And especially these stories in the Middle East are going to blow our minds, you know?
Oh my gosh. And I think about that in heaven one day when someone gets up and shares, I'm the man that they lowered through the roof to Jesus.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh my gosh, we love that yeah. story. Or I'm Mary Magdalene. I had seven demons, you know, and
wow.
let me tell
yes.
you my story. Oh, and then
I want to talk to the woman with the issue of blood. When she pressed through the crowd and she felt her cheeks flush yeah. and her whole body surged with energy that she hadn't known for years, 12 years.
Yeah.
I want to know, like, I want someone to write a novel about her life after that. Just because I yeah. bet she'd be like Fatima. You know what I mean? It's like, you're not going to be able to shut her up. She's got vitality. She was reinstated in her
yeah.
community. Oh, I just can't wait.
Yeah.
How exciting.
And isn't that interesting? Because she's hooked to the woman with the issue of blood, the little girl that had died. And she was 12. The woman with
yes.
the issue of blood, 12 years
yeah.
with that. So God stops the blood in her, starts the blood flowing in the one who had
Come
died.
On.
What an
yeah.
incredible picture of his love and mercy.
Yeah.
And really what that's showing us, it doesn't matter. Is there anything too hard for God?
No.
Nothing is. Raising someone to life, stopping an issue of blood, he did it both in the same hour, probably it happens, right? Wow. Mm.
You know, and the thing I've been doing some Facebook and Instagram lives lately, I've been really pounding this because God's pounding it in me, is those miracles are our miracles, you know, for mm-hmm. Fatima's miracle, for Reed's miracle, the woman with the issue of blood, we need to pull those from our history and put them into the forefront of our minds because he's the same God. And you need to fan the flame and you need to feel your faith. And if you look at these as just stories of old and they become kind of dusty
yeah.
and they don't make you stand in awe, bring them to the forefront of your mind because he's the same God. And Tom, don't you think for us to see revival? And we do, I'll tell you, we've got listeners from 170 countries now. I don't know if you knew that.
Wow.
So,
wow.
I mean, we talk about the U.S. at times, but we've got listeners from 170 countries. So whatever country you're from, for you to see, you know, think about this, you know, Fatima, am I saying her name right? Fatima?
Yeah, that's right. You got it. Yep.
Yeah. I mean, imagine her being the first believer and now the Spirit of God is moving in that community. Wherever you live, he's the same God. And so what is your responsibility? Fan the flame of your faith.
That's right.
And look at these miracles and say, he is the same God. Somebody got to text me an amen.
Amen. So, well, Susie, you know, I think about this, and here she comes to faith in Christ. She's the first. And just recently, they had a women's conference in her city. People came from
wow.
around Jordan. They want to meet her. They want to be a part of this underground church. She has a humility, but she has this winsome boldness. Like Joanne always says, a holy boldness. There's some kind of boldness that is obnoxious boldness. We've seen that,
yeah.
but this is holy boldness. She just has a way. She definitely has the gift of prayer, the gift of evangelism. And that's one of the things our leaders do in the Middle East. When someone, especially from a Muslim background, comes to faith in Christ, they tell them that there's a reason that God called them into the body of Christ. They are a missing puzzle piece. What is it that God is calling them to contribute to the body of Christ? And what she has is she has a boldness for evangelism. And this relatively young believer is now just taking people that are seasoned believers with her to show them how she shares the gospel and how she gets around the questions and keeps it secure, but yet loving. And I mean, God is just using her in a real big way.
Wow. Amazing. Say a word about the collapse of Islam. What are you seeing there?
Yeah, you know, David Wood, who led Nabil Qureshi to the Lord, said what we're seeing is the collapse of Islam throughout the Middle East. And I really believe that's true. I respect David Wood so much, what he writes, what he does. He's always had a heart for Muslims. But what we're seeing is that really the fastest growing sect in Islam right now, Susie, is not the Sunnis or the Shiites. It's the Muslim agnostics. It's the ones that are probably going to family things, you know, break the fast and Ramadan. They don't believe it anymore. Far from it. They haven't told anyone. They're not sure what they believe anymore. So they are what we would classically term an agnostic. I just don't know. So when we were privileged to smuggle Bibles into Iran and go to different places, the government has you on a tour, and you go to different places like, you know, institutions, museums, and they want you to see their big mosques. So we went to their most famous mosque in Iran. And you know what, Susie, the first thing you notice at the very first mosque is this: where are the young people? And the answer is they're not there. They're at the mall shopping, or they're on the internet. They're just not embracing Islam like the regime wants them to. We have seen this in Syria. We've seen this in Baghdad. We have seen this in the Gaza Strip. Yes, there are some young fanatics that will always do it for the money or get involved in terrorism or whatever. But Muslims are searching for the truth. Many of them, when they find it, are willing to die for it. And so the fastest growing sect of Islam is not the Sunnis or the Shiites. It's the agnostics. And it's happening all throughout Islam, where young people are not embracing it. In fact, we have a video series called I Found the Truth, and it's former Muslims sharing their story of how they came to faith in Christ. When we started, we were averaging 4,000 views a month, okay? And we thought, Lord, that's great, but we were praying for more. Do you know what we're averaging now per month? And the Lord did it, 200,000 views. Oh. Last month, I think we hit 380,000 views.
Wow.
And the majority are in Africa, South America, Europe. This is not an American thing. I mean, they're in America watching it, but there's a Christian army out there spreading this to Muslim friends. And of course, in Africa, the North is Islam, the South is Christian, and the North is trying to invade the South. So they're desperate. The Christians throughout Africa, how do we relate to Muslims? How do we share? They're watching videos of people from Iran, Saudi Arabia, Jordan, Iraq, Somalia, and finding out tips, Pakistan, on how they can share the gospel with Muslim friends. So there, it's a revolution in Islam right now. Young people are not embracing it by and large. They've never been more open. And this is the golden hour for the church to reach Muslims.
And as we go to break, let that be a reminder. You want to be a global Christian. God's called us all to be global Christians in some way, shape, or form. Maybe you're sowing into missions like Uncharted Ministries, or you're praying for missionaries all over the world. Here is a point of strategic prayer. Pray that more and more of these agnostic Muslims would encounter Jesus in their dreams, because that is happening on a massive scale, and that there would be people, Christians, bold and brave enough to be rightly positioned at the right time to answer their questions. Because so often they'll have a dream and then they'll meet a missionary, and that person will be prepared and ready to lead them to Jesus. How about you pray into that? And then when we get to heaven and we watch the movie, you'll be part of it. I can't wait to see and hear the stories of how our lives have intersected. When we come back, Tom Doyle will share a few more stories. Check out Tom and Joanne Doyle's books, because, again, you can't put them down, and they will revolutionize your faith perspective and help even put your daily problems into perspective. The one we're giving away today, Women Who Risk, Secret Agents for Jesus in the Muslim World. I'm telling you, you're not going to want to miss it. Text the word book to 877-933-2484. We'll be back in a minute. If you listen to me often enough, you know I believe in the power of prayer. The Bible says the prayer of the righteous accomplishes great and powerful things. I am passionate about prayer, and we all need it. And we would love to pray for you. The Faith Radio team, we're serious about prayer, and we pray for specific listener requests every single week. So if you have a request, if you're walking through a difficult time, you can share your prayer request with us anonymously and securely on our website at myfaithradio.com. Hope you're having a really beautiful day. Thanks for tuning in to Suzy Larson Live, talking to our wonderful friend Tom Doyle. He and his wife Joanne join us on occasion to give us a faith update, a faith perspective from the Middle East. And we thought it'd be especially important to have him on during this week and month of our focus on forgiveness. And I don't know if you've noticed, but on Tuesdays for several weeks in a row, we've been doing a character series where we try to tackle topics that talk about our character formation. So what a perfect marriage to bring Tom on to talk about forgiveness and character formation as we look at our friends in the Middle East, Muslims who come to Christ and risk their lives for their communities and their families. And boy, what they do and how they live is just a great perspective shift and game changer for us. We've got a handful of copies of Tom's book, Women Who Risk, Secret Agents for Jesus in the Muslim World. And as I say, even though the word woman is in the title, this is not a woman's book. Men, when you read this, your faith will be rocked. So we'd love to get a copy in your hands. If you want to enter the drawing, text the word book to 877-933-2484. We've been spending the hour telling stories. Tom's an epic storyteller. Just stories from the Middle East so we can learn about how to forgive and how to lean in and let Jesus' life transform ours. Talk, if you would, about the Christian slaves of Pakistan, how they move on and forgive their slave masters.
Well, you know, Suzy, we didn't really know this till a couple of years ago, but we have a Facebook page, 838, the number 8, and then 30 spelled out an 8. We pray for believers in prison, persecution, and danger every night at 8:38 p.m. And so someone reached out to us from Pakistan and told us about the horrible treatment of Christians there and how many of them were slaves to Muslims, that either their family or like in the brick factories. And what we found out is that there's probably 3 million believers in Pakistan. One third of them, 1 million of them, are slaves in the brick factories where they have a debt. Maybe it's a medical bill. Maybe it's something they owe for a house or whatever. And they have to sell themselves into slavery at a brick factory. And, of course, the finish line to pay that debt off keeps getting farther and farther. They charge more interest. And many of them are in generational slavery, third generation. All they've ever known is working in the brick factories, and they're slaves. And so, praise God, this sprung us into action. You know, when you just hear these things, we have to do something. We can't sit back and just let it go. So as a result, 16 families have been freed from slavery in the last couple of years where we pay the debt to the slave owner, what they owe. And Suzy, many of them are like $800 was all they owed.
My goodness.
So we paid that. And they've never had a job. So we train them to work. Some will serve fried foods in a little cart, or one man is a cobbler. Another helps builders and start a little business. And so we train them with some people in business so they know how to even make a profit, and then disciple them, and away they go. All 16 families are doing great. It's amazing, and they're free, and God's using them. There was a young girl named Marianne, 14 years old, kidnapped by a Muslim man who was in his 60s, and he chained her to a bed, and he raped her for months. And when the Christians found out about it, they took the risk and got the police involved. Usually that doesn't work out well, but they were able to get her freed. Her mother was shot by being part of the rescue, and she got away. Her name's Marianne.
Wait, her mother was shot or shocked?
Shot as she went with them to try to free her. The man that had her chained to the bed took out a gun and shot her. She survived, though. But Marianne, 14, pregnant, has a baby at 15. And what is she going to do? Is she going to be bitter? And I mean, the pictures of her face after she was rescued, you talk about a dark, foreboding look. I mean, we can't even imagine what she's been subjected to. It was just pure evil. But she got away, had the baby, a little girl, and God has blessed her life. She's come out of it. We have a picture of her being baptized. She has a big smile on her face. And we trained her, our team did in Pakistan, to run a beauty shop. And she fixes hair. She's gone through school that our team put together. She's making a living. Her little girl is just darling. And she is just a beam of light in Pakistan. And let me tell you, Muslims come in to get their hair done. And this is what enslaved her, a Muslim man that just took her and was going to keep her the rest of his life. She would never get away. And yet God healed her heart. She has compassion on them. She does their hair. She even gets in appropriate words about Jesus as she can without really getting in too much trouble or being accused of blasphemy or whatever. And she is a shining light in that country. If you saw her now, you would think nothing's ever happened to her. She's just had this beautiful, easy life. She went to hell and back, but Jesus was able to just resurrect her heart, clean it, get rid of the unforgiveness, all of that. And we are so proud of her and what she's doing to reach others with the gospel. But this was a troubled soul. Jesus rescued her.
My. Are there others? There's millions and millions of slaves right now, but that you're aware of, like, that you would rescue if you just had the money, that you'd be able to pay their debts?
Yeah. I mean, there's so many. They estimate that 1 million are caught into this slavery, and it's really not that much. I think the average pay a debt, it's probably less than $1,000, $800 or $900. Wow. Give them a little training, put food in their house, have to get them to a new place that they rent. And then they have a business coach and a discipler, and it's just beautiful. But, you know, one of the sweetest things, Susie, was this one family that he ended up doing fried eatables. They fry vegetables, they fry lots of things and sell it on the street. They went to bed one night, and the wife got up from bed and went into the kitchen to look. And she said, it's the first time in my life I've ever went to bed and there was actually food in the house for the next day. Mm. They never had that, but now they do. And not only are they making a living for their family, this is changing the next generation. And they have such a heart for Christ now. They are covertly, but they're doing it, sharing the gospel with people that see what God's done in their life. So it's just, it's beautiful.
So you could possibly rescue a person or even a family or community from slavery for $800, $1,000. The debts are all different, but they're often averaging around that amount. I mean, think about that. So if people were interested, I want you just to, again, check out. Would you just give your website one more time here?
Yeah. Unchartedministries.com. So it's UNCHARTED Ministries, MINISTRIES.com. And Susie, thank you for asking that. Not only the families, 65 young girls that were housemaids that would work in places where they were taken advantage of, but there was nothing they could do. The family needed them to help with the income. They've been freed from being housemaids. They've learned how to sew. They've gone through a sewing and stitching school that we sponsor, and they've also become beauticians, and they have their own business. All 65 of them are doing well, able to make a living. They don't have to be a house cleaner where they get in a home where the owner will think they're fair game for anything he wants. So we're seeing that turn back, too.
Wow. And Angie said she'll link your ministry in our show notes in case, friend, that you're just feeling the same quickening that I am, that you're like, I want to rescue a family. I want to rescue a community. You know, I mean, think of how you can change their lives. If you have $800 or $1,000 or even $50, you can change lives and set people free. That's a miracle to think about.
You know what, Susie? There's a church in Spokane, Crossover Church. They've jumped on the bandwagon and they help sponsor. And whenever there's a family freed, in fact, I have to send pictures and a write-up this week, on Sunday morning as a part of their worship, they'll say, hey, let's just pull aside a second and not think about things around here. Let's go halfway across the world. Here's the latest family that was rescued out of slavery in Pakistan. They have pictures and a little write-up, and the whole church cheers.
See, this is what it means to be a global Christian, Tom. We've got to keep a big story perspective, you know, where we've got to, because Jesus is a global savior. He came for the nations. He came for the world. And as we get ready to wrap, I want to read this from one of your books. Today's world is violent and pitted against those who follow Jesus, and it's not going to change in our lifetime. But we know the end of the story. And in order to live full life throttle, in order to live life full throttle for God, we must say goodbye to fear and look with hope to the future. We love you and appreciate what you're doing, Tom, and I just can't thank you enough for giving us your time today.
Our privilege. Thank you.
Yeah. We appreciate you for listening. I pray that your faith was stirred and profoundly encouraged. And if you need your faith stirred up even more, check out Tom Doyle's books, because they're amazing. You can text the word book if you want in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. And we'll meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to Suzy Larson Live. Podcasts like mine are available because of your support. If it's important to you to hear things that encourage your faith, click the link in the show notes and give now.